service. We always know that on the Sunday that we jump forward and lose an hour, and on a very cold Sunday that attendance is low. So I appreciate y'all being here, and we are going to have a good time together today, and just a wonderful opportunity. Because the truth of the matter is, while each of our members are just incredibly important, the truth of worship is when we gather the one and only one who's absolutely essential is here. And that is our Lord and Savior, who promised where two or three are gathered, I will be there in the midst of it. I just want to draw your attention to a couple items on the back. And by the way, if you didn't get your hymnal, we have them on the back in our new cart. Please return them there when we're done. That'll make it a whole lot easier. Two announcements that I'm just tickled to death about is we raised $1,626 plus $500 that the board matched, which meant we were right around 1,000 bus passes, I think. 1,063 bus passes that we purchased, and we look forward to doing that again. So thank you for your generosity. Also, the board approved $600 to go to World Central Kitchen. They serve meals in Ukraine, and they've ramped that up. Last figure I saw, they were serving 55,000 meals in the Ukraine. And both of these ministries have just an excellent stewardship a percentage. It's not a ministry where you have to worry about a lot of it getting eaten up by in-house things. It really goes to those in need. So we're grateful for that. Any other announcements? Let's go to prayer requests. And I have a praise I want to begin with. And it struck me a couple, 3 hours ago. And I'm just curious. I want a show of hands. How many of you were able, either in a sink or in a bathtub or in a shower, to turn a knob and get hot water? I'm just curious. Do you know how incredibly blessed we are?
Amen.
We are blessed beyond measure. And in our enjoyment of that, one of my favorite table graces from the Book of Common Prayer says that when we give thanks for the bounty put before us, and we should give thanks for all the blessings we have, it has that one simple line that's so profound: make us mindful of the needs and wants of others. So in the enjoyment of our blessings, let us remember those in need, especially those in Ukraine. And in particular, we have several in our congregation that need prayer. Dave Gardner had a successful procedure on Friday with his eye, and he's continuing to nurse that today, but let's keep him in prayer. Also, Lisa Dibble has a real severe bronchitis and situation, so she requests our prayers as well. And also, just an update, you'll see it in the prayer list, Gwen Miller is now at the Virginia Baptist Hospital. So let's continue to keep Gwen and Patty in our prayers. Any other prayer requests this morning? Carrie.
I don't know if I've not prayed for this gentleman before. My brother has a friend named Kevin Topper at Virginia Beach. He met him about 3 years ago and came into my brother's life. My brother's helping him immensely. His father had cancer. There was no remission in December. His name is John Topper, and he passed away this week. So he's in the Topper family in prayer. And also Ned, so he can guide him.
All right.
And then I have an update also that I saw on Facebook this morning. Jeffrey Anderson's on our prayer list. He will be having his stem cell transplant on Tuesday at 10, so we can keep him in prayer as well.
Okay, let me repeat those so that you can hear it if you missed it. Carrie's got a brother, Ned. Ned has a good friend named Kevin Hopper. And Kevin's dad, John, passed away this week. So let's keep the Hopper family in our prayers. Also, about middle way down on the prayer list, a friend of Carrie's, Jeff Anderson. He is having a procedure Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Okay, so let's keep Jeff in our prayers as well, and the Hopper family. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
My wife was blessed to be able to spend a couple of days, of all places, Virginia Beach, with her daughter and granddaughter. Just some good times together that they're having. And I just want to pray for travel mercies as she comes back.
All right.
Returns tomorrow. So it's kind of a long trip for her.
So let's keep Judy in travel. Thank you so much. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We are so flooded with blessings that it's understandable, but nonetheless inexcusable for us to begin to take them for granted. To have a heated facility with soft seats, hot water, and the safety that right now is a precious commodity for so many whose worlds have been upended by the evil and heinous behavior of others. And for so many who live constantly in different areas of the developing world with that type of fragility day in and day out. Lord, may we always, as our Savior did, be moved with compassion for those that are hurting. May, as we seek to focus our attention on Christ, we also will focus our attention and our prioritization on those that Jesus Christ looks to. May we laugh with those that laugh and cry with those that cry, and when we have the ability, may we, with generosity, reach out to others. We thank you for this opportunity to come into your house. We pray that you would be with those that are on our hearts. In particular, I pray that you'd be with the Hopper family. Just be with Kevin. Be with all the other family members. Be with Ned, all those that are pained by his loss. We pray that you'd be with Jeff Anderson, prepare his body for the procedure on Tuesday. We pray that you will continue to strengthen Lisa and Dave and others that need a healing touch. Bring encouragement as well as healing. Also, we pray for all those that travel. In particular, we pray for Judy as she comes home today. We just thank you for being a loving Father who desires his children to come and to share our request. We leave them now with you. May we leave them in the hands of the only one who's powerful and willing, a very present help in time of trouble. We thank you, our Father. And we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior. Amen. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God. according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the living Spirit.
Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Look with me to the fourth psalm, and after we call each to worship, we will stand and sing hymn 310, praising that holy name. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I am hard-pressed. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
You mortals, how long will you dishonor my glory? How long will you worship dumb idols and run after false gods?
Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful. When I call upon the Lord, he will hear me. Offer the appointed sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
Many are saying, well, that we might see better times. Lift up the light of your countenance.
You have put gladness in my heart, more than when grain and wine and oil increase.
Thank you.
scriptures from Jeremiah 26, 8 through 15. And Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people. And the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate, without inhabitant?'" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. And the officials of Judah heard these things. They came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials, to all the people, "This man deserves a sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." Thus ends the first reading.
Thank you.
God, look upon the hearty desires of your humble servants and stretch forth the right hand of your majesty to be our defense against all our enemies. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, eternally making us your children. And as your children, we are bold to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading comes from Philippians 3:17-4:1. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the examples you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform your lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Thus ends the second reading.
Kill you. And he said to them, go and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow and the third day. I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to the name of Christ. You may be seated. In case you don't know, one of the other advantages to using the hymnal, and I'll probably follow it because I get stuck too sometimes. If you look in the front flyleaf, the Apostles' Creed is there. So the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed are in the front flyleaf of your hymnal. If you need that as we confess our faith before the time of gathering at the table. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, this is a beautiful day. Absolutely unconditioned, not dependent, and totally without contingencies of anything going on in the day, above all circumstances, quite regardless of anything going on in our life, this is a blessed day. For you are our life, and in you we live and move and have our being. Therefore, all is well. Now we pray as we gather together, your Spirit would direct our thoughts and my words. We would see Jesus and Him alone. Amen. Got a question for all of you who are or have been parents or grandparents or uncles or aunts. What do you want for your children? What do you want for your grandchildren? What do you want for your nieces and your nephews? I would dare say if we took the time to answer that question aloud, we'd pretty much say the same thing, wouldn't we? We want them to be safe. We want them to be happy. We want them to be holy. We want them to be healthy. In other words, we want shalom for them, just well-being. We want things to go well for them, right? That's what we want. We want their joy. I'm going to suggest to you, through the gospel and through the lections and for all the other scripture, Jesus Christ wants the same thing. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And it's telling in our gospel reading today that even at the point of his greatest struggle, even on the verge of him being betrayed by everyone he considered his friends, to receive the agony of severe beatings, to receive and take all the shame and guilt of all the sins of all the people of all time. In the time where if anyone would say he had a right to be focused on what he was going through, he wasn't. He was the completely selfless one. It was told to me in seminary years ago by a professor, and I thought at the time it sounded harsh and cold, and I disbelieved it. Now, some 40 years later, unfortunately, I think he's right. As we think of that sinful nature we all have where we turn in on our own needs and can forget the world, He simply said, boys, you need to understand that as you approach people, all people, there's a truth. My headache means more to me than your cancer does. And while that sounds cold, the hard reality is, left to our own devices, apart from the Spirit working Christ-likeness in us, that's sort of the way we feel, isn't it? If I'm having a bad day, the world stinks. If I have a headache, that's the only thing I'm thinking about. But Jesus Christ was totally different. He was the only totally selfless person. He laid down his life for others. And even in the midst of this, look what he says in John's Gospel that Jen read for us. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I want you to come. And I want to look just briefly at what are the three things Jesus wants for us. And I'll tip my hand up front. You're going to connect some dots, because the three things Jesus wants that we see from the Scripture, the Gospel, and the other lections, Luke is going to record in two chapters later, Jesus telling a parable that outlines exactly what he wants. So let your mind connect the dots between the three things I outlined that Jesus wants for his children and the parable that we find in Luke 15. The first thing that Jesus wants for his children is that we would leave the far country. That we would leave the far country. In the Scripture, the far country is an idiom used to describe the place where God is not. It's the place that's away from the Father's presence, away from his direction, a place of no compass, no directions, no rules. A place where people are totally free, where you can do anything you want to. But as we see from Jeremiah and from Philippians, not all freedom is free. Some freedom is entirely bondage. Their God is their belly. We want our freedom, but often as we seek our freedom in the far country, we get more enslaved than we ever have been. You think of runaways, and runaways aren't free, they're in danger. That's why if parents have a child or a grandchild or a niece or nephew run away, the parent gets on edge, because they know that in the far country, the child is in a dangerous situation. We see this completely different. Let me let you know, and I hope you already know this, Billy Joel was totally wrong. Or at least I would say, I totally disagree with Billy Joel in one of his songs, where he says, and you may remember this line, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints, because sinners are much more fun. And I'm going to suggest to you, I don't agree with that. Now, I would put a caveat and say, yes, sinners have probably a lot more fun in the short run. Or as the book of Hebrews would say, for a season. But like antifreeze, that which can taste sweet today kills tomorrow. Quickly, we see that partying with all my friends in total freedom in the far country leads to the bondage of being in the pigsty. And what Jesus wants is that we leave the far country. If you're like me, growing up, you thought your parents were killjoys, didn't you? You just thought that your parents existed for no other reason than to say no to things as small as staying up late to watch your favorite show. I know for me, I got it in my mind that I wanted to go with a friend of mine up to Wintergreen and go skiing. Well, it was snow. And wouldn't you know it, I had parents that were just terrible. And my parents, in particular my mother, she wouldn't let me go. I wanted the freedom to go. I wanted the freedom to do what I wanted to do. And I saw her in my immaturity and anger as just someone that was out to stifle my joy. As one who has reflected beyond that, I saw that she wasn't a killjoy. She was protecting me. She was trying to warn me not to go in a particular direction because it literally could bring me harm. I remember playing with pickup baseball and football games, and most of the kids in the neighborhood got an irritating call somewhere around 4:45, 5:00, that it was time to come home. The fun was over, and to wash our face and hands and get ready. And we were so jealous of one particular boy named Brian, who, while having a parent, it was not a very attentive parent, a parent who had their own bondage and addictions and in their own world. And we were so jealous of Brian because he never had to stop playing. He never got that irritating call to come home. And one time Brian, when we were griping at him for his being lucky, he looked at us and he said, "I wish I had someone who cared enough to call me home." Jesus Christ wants us to leave the far country, to repent, to change our mind. That's all the word repent means, to metanoia, to change our way of looking at it, to see that this freedom that we think is liberating is truly bondage, and the only true freedom is being in Christ, and to see it differently. Jeremiah uses the word mend, if you look at verse 13 in your text, and the word to mend your ways. That word mend means to be joyful. You think about it. None of you want a car that's broken. None of you want a computer that's not working right. A tool that is difficult to use. And to fix it, to mend it, to put it back right brings a great deal of joy, doesn't it? And in the same way, Jesus loves us so much that he understands that our lives are the same. When we're in the far country, we're not working according to our design. And to come home, to no longer be lost, is what he desires for us. The second thing he desires is not only that we leave the far country, but that leads exactly to what I just said. He not only wants us to leave the far country, he wants us to come home. He wants us to come home. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wanted you. Jesus doesn't desire to condemn the world. Jesus is not a killjoy. We read in the backside of the world's most famous verse, John 3:16, you know it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life." I think the next verse is far equally important. You know what it says? "For he did not come into the world to condemn the world." So if Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, parenthetically, neither should we. People don't need our voices of condemnation. They need us to say, "Come home." And Jesus comes not to condemn us. He wants us home. His greatest desire is that we come back and we come under his wings of protection. That we get under his fullness of his love. It says in the gospel that Jen read for us that he desires this. And the word that's used is a very strong word. It's used in other contexts for lust. It's this intense longing. Jesus is not apathetic about whether or not people come home. He begs people to come home. He longs for people to come home. There's no pleasure at all. I want to read from 2 Peter. We read this passage in 2 Peter, and we think sometimes it's just to tell us about patience. And it does, because it's where you'll read hear it when I read it. In 2 Peter 3, verse 8, it begins like this. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is of 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is of one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so this context of saying that with the Lord a day is of 1,000 years is to express his great patience, his unending patience with us sinners. Many of us know God was very patient with us. You understand that? God is very patient with us. But the truth of the matter is, God is extremely patient with everyone. He redeemed the world. He died for the sins of the world. He propitiated the sins of the world. And he wants like mad for them to come home and to be in a full knowledge of his love. He wants us to leave the far country. He wants us to come home. And then the third thing he wants is he wants us to be changed, to be something far better, to be transformed, it says in the Philippians passage, to be transformed, to be home. Because the reason why being in the far country is broken is that's not our home. It's not our land. We're citizens of another country. I know several people, and some of you are like this, who live for a period of time in another country. I don't have that type of courage. Those of you who've lived as an American citizen in other lands, I have to be honest and say the few times in my life that I've traveled abroad were very unsettling to me. I wanted to be home. I don't like being where the language is different and the values are different. I don't like it when I don't hear English spoken. And that was with the way it was intended, with the southern drawl. I want to know and be where I'm home. And part of the far country, and part of the struggle we have, even now, is we are redeemed, and we're living in a home that's not our home. God is transforming us. He's working on us. And because of that, we can be patient with ourselves and others. As God is long-suffering with us to come home, we need to be patient with ourselves. You ever get impatient with yourself? Do you ever think you should be further along than you are now? I disappoint myself so often. I think, you do this professionally, and you're so inept. You're so not there yet. But we need to remember the words of a gospel group named the Hempels. Hempels or Hempels. And Joel Hempel wrote this song, and some of you may remember it. I remember as a child. But it's truth about his patient work of transformation in us. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Because he's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge him yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be better just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. In the mirror of his word, reflections that I see makes me wonder why he never gave up on me. But he loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter and I'm the clay. For he's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. That's it, folks. That's what he wants. Jesus will give a parable, and you know what parable I'm referring to, about the prodigal son. And that's the summary of the gospel. Jesus came on a search and rescue mission for his children. But we need to understand, not all his children are rescued yet. We're safe. We're in the helicopter. We're in the boat. But as he cried on John 17 again the night in which he was betrayed, I've got other sheep that are hurting. Other people. Others that Jesus loves that don't need our condemnation. Individually as Christians or as a church, we're not to condemn. I often wonder, and I've asked it in sermons before, in the prodigal son, which one are you? Well, the truth of the matter is we've all been prodigals. We want to be more like the father, and we spend a lot of time being the elder brother. But let me suggest another character, if you'll speculate with me, and I don't think it's too far from maybe a realm of possibility, because the two disciples on Emmaus had one. Our Lord on his path, as he was making his ultimate journey home on that Via Dolorosa, he had one. I want to suggest that maybe the prodigal had another character that's not spoken but present. And I'm going to suggest that that's what we need to be, not only individually in our relationships, but in the world. We just need to understand that we're walking people home. It's that simple. That's what we're doing. We are walking other people home. I want to envision like Jesus as he was carrying a load, that crossbar to his crucifixion. After being beaten the way he was, after just being exhausted, that he fell. Our Lord, as 100% man, could not carry the load that was given to him. You ever heard that platitude that the Lord will not put more on you than he'll put in you to bear up? That's not exactly true. Because the scripture is full and our lives are full and even our Lord's life was full. But sometimes we can't bear that load. And we need the Simeon, the Cyrene, who carried along with Jesus that crossbar. We need, like Jesus was to the two disciples on Emmaus, we need to walk alongside. Not with the word of condemnation, but with this love that the Savior knew, where we seek to walk other people home. That's true evangelism. That's the church's role. And aren't you grateful that someone came along and helped you find the way home? And we walk along helping each other. Let me close by asking you a question. There's only one American missionary that have ever had a postage stamp with his picture on it. And I'll buy your lunch today if anybody gets it right. There was one American missionary, only one, who's ever had a postage stamp named from him. Does anybody know it? I didn't think so. I thought my bet would be safe. I didn't know it. He was from a little town of less than 800 people in Pennsylvania, Benton, Pennsylvania. His name is Frank Lawhawk. And he was a congregational pastor and missionary, mostly in the Philippines. He died in 1970. The stamp came out in 1984. But I want to close with a quote from him talking about walking people home. He started a missionary organization, and you've probably heard the phrase, and his approach was very simple. Instead of going out having mass approach, he said, we just are walking people home. And his slogan was, each one, teach one. Pretty simple, isn't it? Each one, teach one. We're just walking everyone home. And this is what he said is the goal of children of God and what Jesus wants in his children. And I quote from Frank Lawbach. It is selfish of you to desire to escape from the difficulties of life until you can take humanity with you. You are not Christ-like until you demand that even after you die, your memory shall stay and help others come through to the larger life of going home that Jesus wants of all his children. Brothers and sisters, may we like our Savior, may we like Lawbach, may we like that which we read in Scripture. May we always be thinking how we can help others walk home to our Savior. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Take a seat.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
Maternal God, you long to gather your children. As a mother hen gathers her brood under her wings, you have made the descendants of Abraham as many as the stars in the sky and the sands in the desert. And in your great mercy, you have made us too, children of your blessed, unbreakable covenant. In Jesus, you came among us in grace and truth. In his death, we showed the depth of our departure from your ways. In his resurrection, you demonstrate that nothing is impossible with you. And so we gather at your table like angels at your throne, joining the archangels as they continually sing anthems of heavenly praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of our salvation, you have made us a people for your own possession. And we become yours as you became ours in the sharing of this meal of bread and cup. Send down your Holy Spirit that these tokens of earthly sustenance and heavenly joy may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper took bread, gave you thanks, blessed the bread, and gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God, our stronghold, as we walk this Lenten journey through the wilderness with you, make this eternal food enough to feed us through times of uncertainty and fear. Soften in us the impulse of greed, that as we share the bread of life, we may continue to understand the word enough. Shape our hearts to long for that day when you gather your children to yourself, and inspire us to make all who are created in your image our companions at this and other tables, until the day when all our hungers are satisfied and every friendship is fulfilled, in the company of your Holy Trinity, through whom and with whom and in whom all honor and glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to mention one other blessing that you have that others don't. I asked you with a show of hands at the beginning how many of you had instant access to hot water to cleanse your body. I'll ask you another question. And I don't want a show of hands. If you're like me, most of us this past week had an opportunity to blow it, to step away for a brief time or maybe an extended time, where our thinking was not after the mind of Christ. Our behavior maybe wasn't reflective of His call. Our love for others may not have been what it could have been. We all this past week sinned. And what we have the blessing of, far more beautiful than instantaneous water. As children, we have that promise of knowing that when we do sin, and confess it to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. We don't need to carry that shame, that guilt, for we have instant access to His cleansing. As we should live to make water and food and the physical enjoyments of life accessible to all, may we also live to make that free and full forgiveness that's entitled to all more aware, so that others would come to the table, so that others would be invited to the banquet, so that others would come home and find there what we have found, a gracious and kind, forgiving Savior. So when we come forth today, may we have on our mind one that we would like to see the love of God extend to. Lift them up in prayer. Bring them along with you in your heart as you come forth. For we do, through the power of the Spirit, invite all those who love our Lord and Savior with Jesus Christ to come forward to receive that which He has given, namely Himself, His very body and blood, given to you, your Passover lamb. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Thank you.
thank you, our Father, for an eternal invitation to come. We thank you in a world in which we can so easily go astray, get lost, feel confused, that you came to us and brought us home. We thank you for the peace and protection of the shelter of your wings. And from that place, may we follow your Spirit's lead in speaking the truth and love to others, that they would know the goodness and mercy of being home. Bless us, we pray. Strengthen us for the living of this life. In your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing the final hymn. Together here, life may grow greater for some who have lost faith in it, simpler for some who are confused by it, more secure for some who would escape it, happier for some who are tasting the bitterness of it, safer for some who are feeling the peril of it, more friendly for some who are feeling the loneliness of it, and holier for some to whom life has lost its dignity, beauty, and its meaning. Through Jesus Christ alone, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.